We just gather together as a family. Lord, you know my heart today. My intent is that we would be a family today. And as it's Father's Day, we pray that this, Lord, would either be a message, a devotion, a challenge, an exhortation, an admonishment. I don't know. Lord, you do it. But Father, we pray that you'd have your way with us. We are your people. We've come from all of our homes for this second service to join, Lord, in and around the worship of your precious Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that your word is our light and our lamp. We praise you now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, happy Father's Day. And God bless you guys. And we are going to do exactly that. We are going to talk. You can see right here, I don't normally do this kind of stuff, but I think it's right that we make a break today and we acknowledge fathers and fatherhood, things that only dad can do. I understand the title there is very offensive. If you're not a dad, you can say, well, you hurt my feelings today because I'm not a dad. Well, I want you to listen because maybe you'll become a dad, okay? But just because you're not a dad doesn't mean there are no dads here. And things that only dad can do offends all the women in the church today, because you would say, well, what do you mean? I'm a single mom and I've got to do all that stuff, and I understand that too. You got to understand this. I can't win for losing today. But I got to tell you something. Being a father, and now, as of a couple weeks ago, being a grandfather, I got to tell you something. I'm just so very proud to be here today, because I realized, standing back there during worship, that up until a couple weeks ago, my daughter has always been, during third service, my daughter Rebecca has always been changing your baby's diapers for years during third service. And wow, as Lisa and I went over to the house to watch how she and Shannon, her husband, who was also with her during third service changing baby diapers in the nursery, to walk in their house and to see them changing Emmeline's diapers, it looks like a high-speed mechanized process. And where'd you learn that? Well, we've been doing it in children's ministry for years. So listen, if you want to just prepare for parenthood and diaper changing, children's ministry is the way to go. It's amazing. But now they're home and they're raising this little thing, and that's amazing. And then standing back there, my daughter was way to your far right. My daughter Ashley playing the bass, and she's really shy. She can't stand to be in front of you, so she hides behind her hair. And she puts her hair down, and she's great on the bass. And so I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. And then I think of my son-in-law, who in a way serves the Lord. He loves Jesus, but he's an L.A. County fireman, paramedic, and he serves the community. He's a first responder. That's Rebecca's husband. I thank God for that. And again, he loves Jesus. And then I think of Morgan, who Ashley and Morgan were married last September. And Morgan heads up the worship ministry here and other things. He's the guy with the funny New Zealand accent. And I'm just telling you, as a father, it's like, wow, God, you're good. And I got to tell you something. Is anybody, you know, pregnant right now? I encourage you, if you're pregnant, or if you're about ready to launch, I guess you wouldn't be here right now. But man, let me tell you something. You dedicate that baby to the Lord now. You talk. Listen, Dad, you get over that big tummy, and you start talking to baby right now about the Lord. And you pray. We did that. We did that in private, but we did that. I would pray over Lisa's tummy and dedicate these kids to the Lord. And let me tell you, you can't dedicate them too soon unto the Lord. And so this morning we're going to talk about being a father, being a dad. And this is not a message. It might sound like a message from time to time. I'll have some points up on the wall, but that's only for you to remember. But I just really want to talk to you today, and I want to talk to you about things that only dad can do. And I want it to be encouraging, because I got to tell you something. I'm going to be honest. For all of us dads in here today, here's the truth about the matter. If we could, we would completely abolish Father's Day. Here's the reason why. If there are perfect dads in here right now, you are so perfect, and you did such a perfect job, and your kids came out so perfect, but because you are so perfect, you don't want any attention, because you're so humble that you don't want to have a Father's Day recognition, because you're just too humble for that, because you're perfect. But for those of us who are not perfect, Father's Day can be an interesting time, because it definitely generates memories, right? As a father, it generates the memories of the mistakes we've made. We tried really hard, but we made mistakes. Maybe there's some fathers that are hearing this right now, and they're saying, I want to get out of here because I was a really crummy father. And I love my kids, but I regret me being their father, somebody might say. That's a very common feeling, you know that. Dads have a sense of having failed. I don't know how it is for mom, never been a mom, don't plan on ever being a mom. But for dads, it is a problem where we, no matter who we are, we think in some degree we have failed. I had a man tell me this week in a meeting, Pastor Jack, I failed my son. And we talked about that for a moment. Come to find out, his son is still alive, and the man that I was talking to is still alive, the father. And God has positioned that whole situation to be fixed, to be changed. And who's to say that even God is not even in our failures, that in time we'll turn them around. But I'm going to be saying some things today that, as I say, this is not a message, it's a devotion. So I'm going to say things that, in my opinion, are just simply my opinion. And you might take it or you might leave it. It's your call, and that's great. But before we get into this, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, the book of Ephesians, great book on life, on marriage, on children, on parenting, on soldiering. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's kind of cool. Read the Old Testament. The promise is if you honor your mom and dad, you're not going to die. That's the promise. Isn't that cool? Hey, kid, obey me, lest ye die. That it may go well with you, that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't bug them. Don't frustrate them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I want to talk about that today. To all of us dads, good dads, bad dads, middle-of-the-road dads, all kinds of dads. And that would include, obviously, you can't mention dads without mentioning daughters. You can't mention dads without mentioning sons. God's established the family. It's His idea. And I love that. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. You need to hear this. The family concept came from God. You got to go to the Bible to find out the family concept and what is the definition of a male and a female, a husband and a wife, a son or a daughter, a family. It's invented by God. He wrote the book on it. It's interesting. We would do a lot better if we wrote, or I should say, would read the book that he wrote. Some people are waking up to that. I did some little research during the week, and I went and read some of the findings that they've discovered at Oxford University and Columbia regarding parenting. I just point out a few things. Did you know that they're finding out that fathers' involvement in a child's life is much more important than they ever thought? Well, it took them long enough. The Bible mentions that from the very beginning. And isn't it interesting that our God is the one who says to us, will you call me daddy? Will you call me father? But they have found out at Columbia and at Oxford universities that the benefits of a father being involved in a child's life is an overall increase in the child's ability to develop physically through the father's touch and interaction physically with the father. Mentally, by deliberating and speaking and learning from the father, they said, and socially, learning how to be a son or a daughter from the father. They also found out, number two, that the benefits of a father involved in a child's life is that a child's adult experience as they grow up become much less delinquent and are homeless and are imprisoned when a father's involved. Did you know the percentage of those in prison is a high number, great number, by the way. I forgot what it was, but it's in the high 60s or low 70% of men who are in prison today didn't have a father influence in their life. Isn't that interesting? They also found out that there's high levels of intellectual attainment and achievement when a father is involved in their child's life. They found out that there's a marked decline in mental health issues, problems, and disorders when a father is present in a child's life. They also found out that there's a lower rate of civil disobedience and criminal behavior when a father is present in a child's life. And then finally, The benefits of a father's involvement in a child's life is that the child develops into a loving, caring, protective parent is extremely high when there is an involved father in their life. Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning, and if you want to write them down, that's great. But for me, they're personal. And here's how I want to spin this morning. In a crowd this large, there is no way that everyone's experience can be covered. But I can tell you this, that I come from the one end of being raised in a non-Christian home to having come to Christ and married a believing woman. We wound up having kids and they were raised in a Christian home. I come from one end of the spectrum, I think, to the other. And I speak on a little bit of experience and the fact that I'm over 50. I'm in my early 50s, so you have to listen to me now. I can almost get the Denny's afternoon special, so you got to listen to me for that. And then the other thing is, today's my 33rd year birthday of being a Christian today. So I've got a little bit of Christian experience in doing that, and I'm telling you all this stuff not to woo you. I'm just saying that I've been a pastor ordained from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. It's been a little over 20 years now, and so all this stuff to say what? Well, to say this, that I am a son. I am a son. I didn't know what it was like to really be a son for sure until I met Jesus on June 20th so long ago. My life changed that day. And dads, I want to tell you right now that no matter where you try to pigeonhole your life during the course of this message, the tendency is for you to pull out a gun and shoot yourself in the foot. Because you just can't do these things, or he's going to beat me up with his Bible. I'm a loser, and boy, I'm sure by the time I leave, I'm going to be a bigger loser. No. I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you by saying this. Number one thing is that only dad can speak life into a child's world. Dad, you're the one. God has ordained dads. And such an amazing thing that, number one, it looks like this. God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you or before you, in front of you. Let heaven record this, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, look what God says, your father, mind you. He says, choose life and both, that both you and your family may live. God, our Father, says to us today, dads, that he wants us to choose life, and we do that as fathers by speaking life into our kids. Number one, this way, dads speak protection over a child's life. There's no protection like a dad's protection. I'll prove it. When something scary is going on, if there's a big bang happening or a dog barking or something spooky, or if it's a whatever, you know, terrifying moment to the little child, where does that little kid go? The little kid bolts for dad's legs. And normally they'll come right behind the legs, they'll grab on and they'll latch onto dad's thighs, and they got their little heads peering right between dad's knees out to that dangerous world. But everything's okay because they're like this. They'll run to dad. It's normal to run to dad. And by the way, Christians, we need to run to dad all the time. We need to grab onto his legs and look at the world through the pillars, as it were, of his strength towards us. That God's commitment to us is to speak protection to us. And God speaks protection. And so what does the father do? When the father reads his Bible, when a dad reads his Bible, we are to transfer now. You don't need to be a pastor of a church. The Bible says in Timothy, first of all, that we need to have our homes in order and our children familiar with the things of God. Our kids should know the Lord. Why am I saying that? Because, dad, God is on your side to impart faith into your child's life. He has ordained you, dad, in a very amazing position. Let's be honest. You are your kid's hero. You might be here today saying, Jack, that was once a time in my life, but I've blown it. Oh no, stay tuned. You can become a hero, and I want you to become a hero today again. It's very, very easy if you'll listen. Protection. Dads speak protection. Dads say things like this. God's our strength, Junior. Don't worry, little princess. God will protect us. See, you and I don't have to be that strong man, as it were. As dads, we need to go to the strong man. We need to go to the Lord, and we need to teach our kids how to get to God. Let our kids see us praying. for the protection of the family. Dear God, protect us. Tuck Junior, tuck little Miss America into bed at night and pray over them and say, Lord, watch over our family. Keep us safe. And in California, you always add, and Lord, may there not be any earthquakes during the night. Whatever it might be. You say, well, I don't get it. It's because you have forgotten what it's like to be a kid. You need to remember what it's like. Do you remember what it's like to grab onto maybe your dad's forearms? My dad had the biggest forearms I think I've ever seen on a man. I'm not joking. I remember being in the eighth grade and Steve Garvey. Anybody remember Steve Garvey, the baseball player? Steve Garvey boasted that he had, like, you know, the biggest forearms in the universe or whatever. And he published whatever the size of those forearms were. They're like 17-inch forearms. I got to tell you something. My dad, I went home, I measured my dad's forearms. They were bigger than Steve Garvey's forearms. You know what I remember, though, growing up as a kid? I remember smelling the smell of my dad, his hands. There was a certain stink or smell about him. Every dad's got his smell. Nobody thinks about that but the kids. When your little kids grab your hands, listen, you've been designed, church, listen, you have been designed by God to be embossed, imprinted upon, and it comes often through smell, sight, sounds, memories, touch, feel, that stuff. You are incredibly complex and incredibly resilient. And so children naturally gravitate to the protection of their father. So dads, listen, whatever's gone on in the past, let it go. Today, be the protector and the defender of your children and of that home. Well, my wife, she doesn't want to work it out. My wife, listen, give those kids and give that wife, even if you're on the brink of disaster, give them Jesus. Get up and live it. Stop talking about it. Do it. And listen, the world will change because God has ordained you, Dad, with an incredible power to influence. And we have let this Hollywood Madison Avenue world of ours undermine the authority of a dad and of a father. You are absolutely ordained by God. You don't have to go get some seminary degree to be ordained. God has ordained you as a dad. You say, well, it all happened so naturally. I mean, you know, we were out late one night. God has ordained you. Protection. Yes, also this, power. Dads can speak power into a child's life. This is great. Power. I know something about this personally. Power. If a child grows up hearing that they can't do anything, they will never do anything. But if a child hears their daddy say, you can do that, you understand it changes the world? I grew up in a home, listen, I don't say awe and don't whimper for me. I am fine. I grew up in a home where my dad was a major achiever. And my brother, who's older than me, this is my brother. Super overachiever. Me, it took me months to figure out how to tie a tie. I just couldn't figure out. I just thank God that God had mercy on me. Here's the deal. My dad, he would pick up a gun and shoot the target and go right through the middle bullseye. Okay? My brother, literally, I'm with my brother. He's driving on Ortega Highway back in 1970, whatever it was, or 68. And saw a guy with a hang glider. Nobody had knew what they were. And he was setting it up. And my brother said, what is that? The guy says, it's a hang glider. He goes, what do you do with it? The guy goes, well, you put it on like this, you know. And we're kind of just all testing them out. And you step off the mountain. And so one guy stepped off the mountain and started flying down to Lake Elsinore. And my brother said, I want to try that. And he put that thing on and he stepped off the mountain, 4,000 feet. Flew all the way down and landed and said, well, this is cool. He and I got snow skis for Christmas one year. We both go to the mountains on the day after Christmas. I'll never forget it. Why? Because my brother says, let's get on the lift. We've never skied before. We get on the lift. He's 6 years older than I am. We get up to the top. Well, what are we doing? I don't know. And he points the skis downhill, and he goes. I'm alone, and I'm little. What do? I don't want to be left alone. I point the skis downhill. The next thing I know, I'm waking up. I got knocked out. I hit a mogul. I mean, this little kid just looked like the snow was on fire. I don't get, listen, it's amazing. My dad's thing was, what's the matter with you? Can't you do this? You got something wrong. I grew up like that. Don't cry for me, Argentina. It's this. I grew up with that, not knowing much of a father figure except everything that was wrong. You can't do this, you can't do that. If it wasn't for my mama taking care of me, who knows what would have happened? The cool thing is, I told you before, my dad got saved, came to Jesus 7 days before he died. And that 7 days was sweeter than, 40-some-odd years. God does that stuff. Let God be God. But listen, you be a dad. Amen. And the Lord is giving you the instruction. I had a man come up to me in the last service, and he says, Jack, I am a father. I inherited an incredible family. I married into a family. I've never been a dad before. I got all these kids. When I said I do, I got. And he says, I don't know what to do. And I want to be the best dad ever. I said, dude, your heart is awesome. And I want to get together with you. This is fantastic. What a beautiful thing. The power of a father. And the Bible tells us, I'll paraphrase it for time's sake. You can write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 tells us that we are to talk to our kids about the things of God. We are to talk to them all the time, Dad, about the things of God. Start doing it. You say, I don't think I can do it. Yes, you can. Listen, are there trees outside? Yeah. Talk to your kids about the trees. God made those. Is there a big sun in the sky today? Yep. Talk to your kids about the sun. You know what's great about having kids? You got to get smart because they will ask you questions like, how come? Yep. You'll tell them this. Hey, look, the water's blue. We say, well, you pick it up. It's not blue. I can see right. It's not white. These are kids. You better prepare for parenthood. I'm telling you now. Kids will pick up water and they say it's clear. Then why is it blue? That's like in Israel. When the Nigerians come to Israel, they take a tour. And they stand there at the shore of the Dead Sea. And they go, I have a question. What is the question? If this is the Dead Sea, why is the water moving? Did you get that? See, for those of you back there, the Dead Sea, why is the water moving? Dead? Anyway. Kids will ask those questions. You need to be able to explain to them why the light refraction's coming off the sky and why the water changes or able to look like it changes during the course of the day based upon light refraction and that stuff. Kids make you learn that stuff. And what's that all about? God stuff. That's God stuff. And you've got the power to speak that into their lives. It's really amazing. Also this, dads speak peace into a child's life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Dads speak peace into a child's life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That means get ready. He's coming back. Be anxious or don't worry for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Let me put it to you like this. Speak peace into your kids' lives. You let your kids know God's watching over us. And you tell them, listen, Junior, little Miss America, even when very, very ugly, scary things happen, God's still watching over us because we live in a broken world and He's coming back to fix it. Tell them. Give them that peace. You, Dad, you've got the power, the authority, you've got the calling, and you can say to them, it's going to be okay. Do you know how comforted it is to be able, at an age like this, and a time like this, economic challenges, maybe your home is going in foreclosure or whatever it is. They don't understand that stuff. They're not supposed to understand that stuff. They're kids. But you can tell them, I don't care. We're going to fight. We're going to work hard. We're going to do this. We're going to make it work. And whatever is the outcome, son, daughter, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to keep Jesus front and center. And when a kid hears that, they go, it's going to be okay. You guys, they're more resilient than us. We walk around. That's why the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything. The word in Greek means stop it. Did you know that? That's how it's translated in the original Greek. Stop it. What? Stop it. You're worrying about everything. Only adults do that. You don't see little kids walking around. Oh my gosh, how are we going to pay the mortgage? Little guy in his diaper, he's biting his nails. Oh man, what's the matter? I don't know how we're going to pay the light bill. He doesn't care. But when we speak peace into their lives, they'll grab onto it. Kids are amazing, and Dad, when you speak, they want to hear it from you. They want to hear it from you. Point number two is this. Only dad can provide life for his child. And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about being a baby maker. That's biology. I'm talking about being a dad. I'm talking about being involved in their lives. Being a father to the child. And you do that by, number one, including them. Can you write that down? This is important. I wrote down three things that to me are very important. Number one, regarding including them, that you and I will provide as dads life for them by including them. What do you mean by including? Number one, dad, mark this down. When they're little, expose your kids to the things of God and life. If you have little kids, expose them to the things of God and the things of life. Why? This is fun. Include them. And it's so simple. Yes, you can do it by mowing the lawn. Yes, you can do it by fixing whatever. It's as easy as this. Take your kids to the park if you live in apartments or if you have a house. Somewhere you're going to have something out in the yard that's going to be a rock, a stone, a brick. Take them over to that thing. I think you know where I'm going already. Take your kids, get down on your hands and knees. Get down there with your kids. Get a magnifying glass, not to burn anything, but to look and get them down. And you know what you do? You take the brick or the stone and you turn it upside down. You move it. And what's in there? I can tell you right now. I just did it the other day. Slugs, bugs, roly-poly things, worms, ants. Okay? Watch what happens. Tell your kids, what do you see? What are those things? Look at that ant. He's carrying something twice his size. How do you think he does that? We need to find that out. Take your kids on a field trip in life and point it out to them that God did that. Or that God knows about that. Daddy, what? And here's the truth. You're going to come to me after service and say, oh yeah, you want me to tell them that this bird came down, this eagle came down in my backyard and ate that bird? You think God did that? You can tell them that's what sin does to what God created. God didn't create that bird to eat that bird. That's a result of sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5. Include them in life, include them in God. They'll love it. Now, also this, Dad, when they're teenagers, parents, listen. Oh, you're not going to like this. I know this because this is second service. I've already gone through the persecution of a first service. You are their father. You are their dad. You're not their best friend. You will never be their best friend, so just stop trying. They don't want you to be their best friend. They think that's weird. Okay? So, Dad, don't come showing up. Hey, dude, yo, mama, yay, what's up, brother? What going down? Don't do that to your kids. You are their dad and father. And here's the cool thing. As they're growing up and they get in, now here's the deal. Guys, 12-ish, 12 to 21, 22, they're in a retarded zone. Brain dead. Strange world. Challenge authority at the drop of a hat. A girl's a little bit different. Maybe, you know, she's got this zone. It's kind of like, you know, maybe 16 to 21, and then she's over it. She's getting on with life. A guy's got to figure things out a little. It takes a little while more. Here's the deal. You be the parent. And listen, if you, as when they're little, you want to expose them to God and life things, you want to require of them God and life things. See, what does that mean? Listen, Junior's going to come and say, I need the keys to the car. Well, you do you? This is great. Well, welcome to the world, son. This is awesome. So what? What do you want to do? Well, I want to go on a date. Okay, when's that? Friday night. Okay, well, good for you, because this is Tuesday. And so if you want to drive the car, you're going to learn how to wash the car. And today, our kids think, what's the big deal? I'll go to the car wash. With dad's money. No, you're going to get the hose and a bucket and soap and a rag, and you're going to do this thing. Why? I've never seen you do it. I'm the father. You want the car that you've never paid for and you've always just had it, and I'm trying to teach you responsibility because I love you so doggone much. So here's the deal. Wash the car, get the keys. No washy car, no keys, no dates. Oh man, I can't believe you're doing this to me. None of my friends are having to do this. And then you can just say, just really belligerently, like, and sarcastically, none of your friends' fathers love you or love them like I love you. I mean, you're loved the most. I love you so much, you got to wash the car before you can take it. What are you doing to them? Can you imagine? Imagine if you don't do that in life. You got a kid growing up saying in life, now they're 35 years old, like this. I want the keys. Can you imagine going to a job? Hey, I want free lunch. I want this. I want that job. I got this job. I want that job. Listen, prepare them for the world. Expose them, require them, and then later on in life, you can offer them. How cool is that? You can offer them. But definitely, by all means, include them. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Notice, you train the child up in the way that he should go. You never have a child say, this is the way this house is going to go. You, mom, dad, you guys live for me, for my pleasures and my indulgences. You go to work, you clean the house and cook, and I will enjoy the fruits of your labor. Put the little stinker to work because you love him. You're preparing them for life. And that's a very important thing. Not only include them, secondly, allow them. This is a tough one. Parents, listen. You've got to allow them. There comes a point in time, Dad, where you've got to allow your kids. Allow them what? Well, it all starts with allowing them to cross the living room from one table to the other on their own. Yeah, but they could crack their head. I know this. They could fall down. Yep. What are you going to do? I know emotionally, come on church, emotionally when our kids are little, we'd rather pick them up and move them from this place to the other and so they don't get any bruises. Guess what? You'll destroy your kid. And then what about graduating to the bicycle? Don't we lie, as parents, we lie our full heads off, man. We got the back seat of the bicycle and Rebecca says, Daddy, don't, whatever you do, don't let go. I mean, they know something's coming. The training wheels are off. Don't let go. And we say, I'm not letting go, honey. I'm not letting go. And you're going along, and what do? There comes a point. Here's what you're banking on. As soon as I let go, I'm running the risk. I gave her my word to not let go. But I know that in life, there comes a time when I got to let go. And it all begins with this bicycle thing. And so I'm going to let go. And the moment, here's the trade-off. The moment she gets that vibe, that feel of, oh, I'm doing it, they're going to crash. They will crash. They crashed, and you crashed. By the way, who invented boys' and girls' bicycles? Got it all messed up. You will crash. Your kid will crash. Oh, I can't have my boy learn the bicycle. Once it's in their blood, they got it. And it's so wonderful of having tried and made it that they'll get on the bike and they'll try it again that very same day with a matter of minutes, bleeding, skinned up elbows and knees. The value is worth the risk. Are you with me? Life is like that. Just do it, son. Do it, daughter. You can do this. And by the way, as time goes on, it does come to that time when they drive the car. Listen, parents, I told you guys this before. Lisa and I had two systems. When our kids were old enough to stay up late or to go out, here's the deal. I don't know about you. I think this is brilliant. I'm going to give it to you for free. I'm thinking about putting it in a book and making millions off of this. It's only going to be like a page and a half. When you send your kid out or when you let them go, when you allow them, pray, just be praying. Okay, and are they supposed to be home at midnight? Listen, they better be home at 11:58. They better not be home at 12:01. Here's the deal. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit up all night? Wonder what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, Lisa would be like that. She's going to sit up and she's going to wait. I'm thinking, what's the value in that? Lord, be all over them, protect them. I'm going to bed. I'll set my alarm for 11:55. If they don't get home within 3 minutes, they just need to make sure their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? I mean, come on. Which, by the way, leads to this. It actually encourages them. It encourages them, and I'm not joking. A father speaks life and provides life for a child, and in that sense, it encourages them. Because, listen, you can drop kids in the middle of a football field, and they'll be terrified. It's too big. But if you put a 30 by 30 chain link fence around them, they'll start playing with toys and start goofing off. Did you know that? Anybody have child development? You put them out in a big field, they freak. They go like, they're lost in the vastness of it. That's how the world is. If a kid has not been prepared, they're in the vastness of the world. They've had no encouragement. They have not learned how to handle things. And so they're in this big, big world. And the moment you put a fence around their world, they feel comfortable. They start playing and they start interacting and they start developing. Dad, encourage your kids. You have that amazing power. Listen, Jacob encouraged Joseph and said, Joseph is like a huge bay tree. He's like a huge bay tree and his branches flow over the wall. Jacob was saying, my son Joseph, everything he does turns to gold. He's so blessed by God and he's like a tree that just outgrows its neighborhood and just blesses everybody. Speak into their lives. Listen to this. I mean this. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ. Guess what? That means your kids too. Teach your kids, encourage them. If your daughter comes up and says, I want to be an astronaut, Daddy, don't say, honey, you better sit down. Only 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10 of a percent of women become astronauts. Why would you say that to her? Are you crazy? Do you know what you're supposed to do, Dad? And I know that there's great dads in this church, and you already do this. So when you hear your daughter say, I want to be an astronaut, you take her immediately down to the hobby store. Do we even have hobby stores anymore? You take her to the toy store, and you buy her a model of a Saturn V rocket, and you and her build it. And then you get her a model of the lunar landing module from NASA, and you build it. You take a field trip to JPL. You guys are just down the freeway, Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. Take her on a trip. Don't say, well, you know, it's going to be really hard. Probably won't make it. Listen, keep that to yourself. Take her there. Tell her she can. By the way, what a great encouragement for her to do her math and learn chemistry. Because you got to tell her, honey, I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but astronauts know math and chemistry really good. I got to tell you something. If they love it and they're encouraged, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody remember old Huntington Beach, California, Surf City, USA? Anybody remember Meadowlark Airport? It's gone now. I was sitting there with my Stingray bike in a bag lunch. I was about 11 years old. I rode my bike and I sat in the grass and I watched airplanes land and take off and land. This one guy gets ready to take off and I watch him and he flies around and comes back and he lands and he's just doing touch and goes. And I'm sitting there with my bicycle, my lunch in the grass. This guy taxis over and he sees me sitting in the grass. Back in those days, you could sit on the runway if you wanted to. And he opens the door on the passenger side and he says, hey! You want to go up? Back in those days, strangers were nice people. And I got right in that airplane. Put on a seatbelt, and he said, listen, when I look over you, when I do this, you pull back on that yoke. 11 years old. Guess what happened? Took off, flew around. Did that a few times. Went out actually over the water. When I got out, guess what I decided when I was 11 years old? I'm going to fly. I had to get my pilot's license. You do that to your kids, Dad. You have that power. encourage them in that thing. You encourage them in that thing. Point number three, very quickly, I'm going to run now as we go through this. Things that only dad can do is only dad can create life in a child, and it's this way. A Christ-centered worldview is awesome. You guys, this is key. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 that we need to not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge the Lord. And so check this out. I thank God for Lisa. You guys, my wife was a child-rearing maniac. Let me tell you why. Number one, she's the baby of 9 kids. That'll get you ready right there. Number two is my wife started homeschooling our kids when homeschooling was never even heard of. People were wondering around, do we arrest this woman or what do we do? She was homeschooling our kids and they did so. I was not even for it. I don't think this is right. She did it. It was amazing. And here's one thing that we just agreed on. Our kids, when you raise them in such a way where you create a Christ-centered worldview, check it out. It's this. Our kids would learn about creationism because the Bible teaches creationism. But the world doesn't teach creationism. The world teaches evolution. So what would we do? When I would get home at night, we'd sit down in front of the TV, and we had very special programs that we liked watching on PBS. Nova, Marty Stauffer's Wild America, and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. They all talked about evolution. We'd sit there. We didn't cover our kids' ears and blindfold them when they talked about evolution. We said, listen, this is what the world does because they don't know God. This is how they're trying to explain it without God. So you know the truth. God created it, but that man talking doesn't believe in God. And so he's got to make it up this way. And our kids sat there, just like you told your kids. I hope I don't get anybody in trouble here. But you would tell your kids, Santa brought all those gifts. Santa brought all those gifts. And then they reach an age when they find out, I think after these 21 years, Santa, I don't know. Something wrong here. Could have swore I saw mom at the store the other day getting this thing. And then you say, oh, but I know that was Santa. But Jesus is real. Really? No. Tell them straight up. God is real. When man doesn't believe in God, this is what they make up. Your kids will respect you. Dad, you've got the power to do that. And it's pretty amazing because you'll grow them up in a worldview that is fearless in this culture. They will say, hey, come here, bring your argument. What is your argument? Uh-huh, okay, all right, check this out. And they can answer. Dad, that's your business. Number two, a ministry-minded kid. Dads do that. Dad, get involved. Go to Mexico. Go to Mexico. You don't have to go to Mexico anymore and for hardship now. You can go across the street for hardship now and help people. Make it a project. Ministry-minded. Thirdly, under this point, before we close this out, in the next point is this. You guys have got to get ready for this. Watch this. A lasting spiritual legacy means that it is dad's business to teach your kid the things of God. Now, I'm going to show you something in a second. And I don't know if dad did it or if mom did it or both mom and dad did it. But this little girl is a storm on the internet right now. And I want you to watch this and ask yourself this question. How did she get that? Are you guys ready? Watch this. Where did this come from?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy. Come, thy will be done. And forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
A lasting spiritual legacy. And number four, we'll wrap it up. Only dad can grace life into his child. What I mean by that is this. Dad, your love, your place, and your position and power that God has called you to, you have an amazing ability to grace your child's life with all the things that they need so that they, number one, are resilient. This world to survive is going to require resiliency. And we've got it, and we got to give it to our kids. If they fall down, they're not going to die. If somebody makes fun of them, they're not ruined. If the world comes after them, they're going to have to go through dad first. We need to teach them resiliency, and that comes from a life where we're imparting grace to them. Grace. When I say grace, I mean let your kid grow up. In my context, let me just say it this way. Agree, disagree, it's your call. For me, I thank God for the just things that influenced my life. I grew up on a street with a bunch of boys. We threw dirt clods at each other. We'd all go down to the Army-Navy store and buy Army clothes and pretend we're blowing each other up, shooting each other with make-believe guns. Jumping off of roofs, and just being guys, digging a hole and filling it with water, and looking like some sort of a monster. Taking glue and burning our toys, I remember. Just, oh, look at this, look, oh, guy stuff. Will you let your boy be a boy, will you? I get very, very nervous and concerned. I understand that it's normal at 2 and 3 and 4 for a little boy to put on heels, mommy's heels, and click because of the funny sound. But right then and there, dad says, get those things off. You look like a fruitcake. Knock it off. Put on some boots and get outside with me. Come on. I understand that. That's normal. But to let the kid keep wearing those things and then to start dressing them up, to have to deal with a family that gets a divorce because the father cannot cope any longer with the mother who really wanted a daughter, but they had a son. And so she turned him into a little girl. And watching a family divorce over that, that's insane, you guys. You're letting Hollywood tell you how to raise your kids. And you better stop now. Listen, Dad, take your little girl out. Take her out Irvine Lake. Take her on a boat. Go out to Irvine Lake and let her catch a fish. And it's so cute. Take them both. If you have two little kids, take them out there. The boy, you catch the fish or you bring the fish up. The little girl will move to the back of the boat and she'll start crying because the fish has now looked like it's hurting. And the little boy will go right over to the fish and poke its eye out. Let them be what God made them and encourage that. Okay? Dads, take your daughters on a date and show them how they are to be treated. Celebrate the fact that they will someday be a woman and give them the understanding that a man opens the door for her. And you say, oh, that's stupid. We live in a whole new generation. You're old. Funny, huh? Isn't it interesting that the new young generation is gravitating towards the old Gregory Peck and Cary Grant movies? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Show them the difference. If you grew up in our house, for example, my daughters, I don't have boys, but you know what? My daughters know how to shoot guns. We love guns. I was brought up with guns. We've got guns. My daughters, don't mess with my daughters. They can shoot, great shooters. What do you mean shoot? What do you mean shoot? I mean, we love target shooting. But let me tell you something. When it's time to clean the gun, I'm not, Dan, you clean that. Get my nails. I didn't get my nails. That's the girl thing. Listen, there's the guy thing and the girl thing. It's okay. But we got, listen, our school system's confusing our kids. Mom and dad, your work's cut out for you. Make your boy a man and make your little girl a lady. That's your job, nobody else's job. And then listen, so also, creating obedience in their life, creating obedience is a good thing. Let them grow up. Isn't it amazing? I don't know who said it. Maybe Mark Twain said it, I think, maybe. That as we get older, in the eyes of our children, we get smarter. As our children grow up, they begin to think, hey, Dad wasn't nuts after all. It does hurt to stick a fork in a light socket. They will gravitate back. And then finally, I want to leave you with this. Grace being put into a child's life inspires confidence. I want you to end now. We're all done. I want you to think right now that picture of that little girl in her church. Is she confident? Listen, this is what breaks my heart. That's on the internet now forever. That will never be off. Remember that before you upload something. You can look at her life now, and she's older now. I mean, she's a whopping 5 years old, I think, now. I'm not sure. And now and she's playing the piano, singing How Great Thou Art or something like that. Yeah. Bold, confident. Grace has been put into her life. Check it out. The part that concerns me is this. If mom and dad, for as long as it's necessary, defends her, protects her, or instructs her, and I think they're well on their way, that little girl is going to be the prime minister or the president or something. Or better than that, she'll be a missionary to some part of the world. Check this out. You know what my concern is? Someone someday is going to be jealous and envious, and they're going to go up to her and say, you know what? That was horrible what you did. That's terrible playing the piano. You stink. Something's going to be said. Listen, how did it happen to you? You were just like that at one time, and somebody said, you can't do it. And you began to believe it. That's our problem. At least it's my problem. God rends the heavens and says, Jack, you can do all things through Christ, my son, who strengthened you. And I say, but God, I'm a jerk. I grew up knowing I'm a jerk. I can never finish that, God. It's too big for me. Seems to me Jeremiah had that problem. Seems to me Moses had that problem. You guys, listen, we need to be like that little girl. Your father is saying to you today, you can recite the Lord's Prayer, you can play the piano, you can be an astronaut. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think about it. So fathers, you go out today, and dad, you have a great day, but remember this, it's really not about you. It's about the ones in your life. And if that is a broken relationship today, and you've sat here in defeat and you've said, Jack, that's just fine for somebody, but my life, I've already done the fathering thing, and my 35-year-old kid won't even speak to me. Guess what? Only through Jesus. You get to pick up the phone today, and you get to say, son, I was at church today, and I just need you to be quiet and listen. I want to ask you to forgive me, because when I yelled at you when you were 13 and you ran away from home for a week, things were never quite the same between you and I. That's because I'm an ignorant, prideful man, and I'm sorry. I didn't handle things right. And when I did this and when I did that and the other thing, I want you to know I blew it. Only through Jesus, church, listen, can you take the worst things that's happened in our lives and contact those who we hurt or offended and say, listen, will you forgive me? I was wrong. Don't ask them to forgive you without you being able to say that you were wrong. Why is that important, even when they're 35 years old? Because you are still daddy. And you have an ordained power by God. You can still change the world as long as they're alive. Do it. Set them free. Set yourself free. And watch God go in your life. Father, we pray now that this day would be a monumental Father's Day. That this day, Lord God, would be a day of great changing. We have been beaten down, perhaps. We have been discredited. We have been sidelined, maybe. But we can pick up the phone today. That's what you would do, and you would call us. That's what you did. You called us, and you sent us a message in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, Redeemer of our souls. And it was your move, Father. You did it sovereignly. You made up with the world. You said, hey, come. I know that you're sorry. I know that you're hurting. And I'll forgive you. So, Lord, today, may this be a brand new day. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.